Welcome to today's interview on Brighteon.com. I'm the founder of Brighteon, Mike Adams. Thank you for joining me today. And today we're joined by filmmaker Chris Harrigan, who's the creator of Tiptoe to Tyranny, which will be featured very soon on Brighteon University, which is at brightu.com. We'll tell you about that later. Welcome, Chris. Welcome to the interview. It's great to have you on. First time we've been able to speak, so welcome to the show.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on, Mike.
Hey, it's great to have you on, and we appreciate your work and you letting us broadcast your film. Tell us about this film, please. Tiptoe to Tyranny. What's the theme? I mean, obviously tyranny, but a little more detail. What is it all about? What are people going to learn from this film?
Tiptoe to Tyranny, chapter one, first steps. This is a lead in into the COVID narratives that took place. I'm kind of showing how everything was already laid out ahead of time, and especially the vaccine narrative. And this film kind of came about almost in a surprising way, because I realized I had these interviews with people like Del Bigtree and G. Edward Griffin and Max Egan, and I could go on, Luke Radowski, Jeff Berwick, that I took 2 years prior to COVID, almost exactly. And it described, in the interviews, they were already describing where this was all heading to. And now we were living it. So originally the idea was I was going to marry these interviews with current events, but I kept filming everything that was happening. And this goes all the way to the convoy. So this is a series. The first part, we're leading into COVID, and especially the vaccine narrative, because here where I am in Canada, and I happen to be right in the middle of all that, we had an education minister who was pushing for vaccine mandates in the schools here. It's an education minister with no children.
Right.
And he's not a doctor and he's not a teacher. So I happen to film all that also in our fight. So while all these states and countries really around the world were falling like dominoes, so these mandates for schools, here where I live in Eastern Canada, we fought tooth and nails with doctors, like the parents, the doctors, the scientists, and we beat these bills twice. And we actually beat the second bill in COVID. Like while COVID, the whole thing was already rolled out.
Right.
So this is this film focuses on that and in the victory that we had. I'm trying to make every film, because it does, like I said, it ends with the convoy, which was a massive victory. So that's what this first film is largely about. It's made for the people who know all this. But really, the way I designed it, it's you can show this to anyone. This, if anything's going to wake a normie up, this would be the one,
So this film, does it really focus on the COVID tyranny, the lockdowns, the vaccine mandates, and everything that happened in Canada? Or does it go into even financial tyranny, rigged elections, globalism, depopulation, all those things?
Social credit scores, yeah.
All of it.
Yeah.
Okay, outstanding, because, tyranny has become such a multifaceted attack on humanity now. It's from every direction at this point. It's even now, tyranny against your children. They want to mutilate your children's genitals. Even apparently at Target stores now. Maybe they'll have like a drive-through genital mutilation lane next to the pharmacy or something. Like, here's where you drug your kids and here's where you mutilate them. Just pick a lane, I mean, I'm saying that facetiously, obviously, but that's how crazy it is right now. Everything's gone mad. How do you even navigate that as a filmmaker?
Or as a parent.
As a parent, yeah.
It's getting crazier every day. I mean, Tiptoe to Tyranny, the series could go on forever unless it stops, But as it is right now, it's going to end with the convoy. And that, as far as I was concerned, a victory. But yet in Canada, it's just getting worse and worse. And where I live just happens to be like the place where they seem to try everything. in my province. Like, it seems to be like the Agenda 2030, like, testing ground.
Yeah, it was the testing ground, right? They're just trying to, they want to see what they can get away with.
Oh, they were talking about taking our kids away if we didn't get the jabs. They stopped us from traveling. They tried to stop us from even being able to buy food.
Yeah. Well, yeah. There's a lot more of that coming. Let me give people some action items here, folks. If you want to watch this film for free, you can do so. It starts running on June 10th at brightu.com. Now, currently, we're showing human farming, but this will be replaced with the Tiptoe to Tyranny. And you'll be able to go to brightu.com, which is Brighttown University. You just click and you enter your name and email address, and that's it. And you can watch the full film. It'll be looping for that week, starting June 10th, which is a Saturday. So just go there, register. You can even register now, and you'll be able to get in and watch that film and every other film that we have through Brighttown University. And Chris, you know, you mentioned to me earlier that you have another film about Rick Simpson oil that's also going to be featured on Brighttown University as well. Is that, I mean, do I have that correct?
Yeah. It's called Healing Cancer with Cannabis, the Rick Simpson Story. It was actually nominated in 2019 for Best Independent Documentary at my provincial film festival here, who actually asked me to put it in, which was a surprise, because I actually released that quite a while back, but not the whole film, and just a part of it. And it went viral. It got lots of attention and really helped me get these interviews that I got for this movie. I had to sit down and actually more or less remake it for the film festival, because I had to make it high res. I had to go back and go right to the drawing board, but frame by frame, I put this thing back together into, you know, like a updated version. So this is a film that a lot of people, you know, recognized me for, and it, you know, over the, this is what changed my direction really in life, because I was part of the mainstream, you know.
Oh, really?
I was in 2018, for 20 years that's what I did, documentaries for Discovery Channel and History Channel and Documentary Channel and every broadcaster you can name. But when I made that particular film, when people are coming to me and saying, you know, this information saved my life, or somebody I love, suddenly, you know, I had made a difference in the world, and that felt good. So this changed my direction, and, you know, and later on, I made another film for a popular show here called The Trailer Park Boys, and they sent me to Peru with one of the cast members who had had a stroke, and he was looking for relief through shamanic medicine such as ayahuasca.
Yes.
And that's called Trippin' with Lee. It's actually free to watch online. And I could never really look back. So in 2018, I was at a conference in Acapulco where I had met G. Edward Griffin and Max Egan and Jeff Berwick and eventually Del Bigtree. And I announced, like, I'm shutting down my company. I'm just not doing any of this anymore. Like, I have to use my skills to help, because the world is, I could see where it was all going. And it did. I mean, I wasn't surprised at all. The day they announced COVID, I was like, they're going for it.
You know? Yeah, they are. Yeah, global depopulation underway. And whoever survives it is going to be, you know, enslaved by the system, if the system has its way. Well, what else is on your mind then, in terms of, you know, where do you go from here of next projects? Or are you just going, I understand you may add chapters to Tiptoe to Tyranny?
Yeah, I'm working on Tiptoe to Tyranny Part 2 now. So that's ongoing. That's the next thing to come out. And like I said, it all leads to the Conway, but this next film is really about it's heavy. It's about the government overreach, but some of the stories I have, the murders in the hospitals, and I mean murders in the hospitals.
Yeah.
You know, one guy going in with on a drug overdose, they diagnosed him with COVID, and they put him on a vent and everything, and they told the family at one point that He was brain dead, and they went in to say his life, and they had to make their decision over the phone.
Wow.
And then they went in, and it was a doctor they had never talked to before. And this lady, next of kin, was talking to the doctors three times a day. So they went in to say their last goodbyes, and he was anything but brain dead. He was trying to pull the thing out of his mouth to talk to them. He was holding their finger and trying to talk, and she's freaking out and saying, you know, like, you can't do this. Like, you know, we need to reverse it. No, we have you in recording. There's no going back on this.
What?
And the next day, the next day is when he died. Like, they filled him full of remdesivir, what I understood. Put him on a vent. You know how it goes, right? Like,
yeah, they just mass murder. They suffocate people in their own lung fluids, and then the hospital gets a big paycheck from the government as a reward for the murder.
Yeah, and I found out about that too. And it looks like they got about, well, I think it was $270,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's consistent with what we're seeing. Some hospitals in California get up to $500,000 for every human being they murder after diagnosing them with COVID. You know, they get payouts from the state and federal government. And so it's straight up medical murder for hire. But you know that. I mean, you're documenting a lot of this.
The night before he died, he chewed out of his straps twice, both straps, and they found him in the corner of the room.
Yeah, he was trying to escape and save his life, but they killed him, huh?
Yeah, that's, I mean, some of the stuff that I'm, you know, like, even for, even though I've heard this story for, you know, months now, it's still, I mean, it just makes your skin crawl. It just, you know, like, how could this happened, and just the stories about the nurses and stuff, the cold heartedness of it, you know, like he was trying to talk to her and the nurse looked at her and his next of kin and said, well, you know what? He's already spoken his last words. We pretty much ripped his vocal cords out. Like, you know, I mean,
you know, yeah. You've made a lot of documentaries, as a professional filmmaker. But this is what gets to me. The other day, somebody was inviting me to go on some tour, which I said no, but it's some kind of like horror film, you know, places to visit in Texas or something. I guess there's like all these scenes from all these horror movies. And I said, no, why would I want to go on that? And, you know, they said, well, you know, this is, it'll shock your mind just to see all the horror in these films. And I said to them, and I want your comments on this. I said, there's nothing in your film that isn't already far worse in the real world. Everything that you depict in those films, you know, child sacrifice, demonic rituals, you know, mass murder, torture, that stuff happens every day in the real world. And it's far worse than anything in your movies. And the people that are into those movies, I don't know, they're isolated from reality, because all you got to do is go to the Texas border. You want to see human trafficking, child sacrifice, rape, horror, and murder? Just go to the border. It's all happening every single day. And then that doesn't count the dark corners of the power elite with their druid wood festivals or whatever they're doing with the owls and who knows what in their red robes and blood drinking. I mean, it's beyond every horror movie. Would you agree with that or not?
I would. And in fact, it's funny you mention that, because my son is 12, and so he likes horror movies. And every time he brings it up, I keep telling him I don't want to watch those. And either why? It's because what I'm seeing in the world, there's enough horrible things in the world. I don't need that in my own time. You know what I mean? Right. I have to look at it all day long, because I research all day long. That's what I do. That's my nature. And you know, you just said it all. You just said it all. I mean, it's what we're seeing. I mean, even in the credits, of the film, like I'm showing people where this leads to. So there's a preview to part two, and the credit roll, I'm showing one of the speakers in Ottawa, because I was in the pony truck that led the Eastern Convoy. Like I was right there. I was I've got Pat King and Chris Guy and all the top people that were there, and Brian Pickford, who was the last living person who wrote the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, and he was there speaking out. And this guy gets up on stage and he's telling us, he's like, I was just talking to my trucker friend, and this guy's son went behind his back and got the shot because he wanted to play hockey. And he died a month later of a heart attack, 18 years old.
Wow.
And it just so happened that day was his birthday, so he got us all to sing happy birthday. I mean, there wasn't a dry eye in I want to say in the house, but I mean, that was a massive event. Like that was, it was unreal because I get back to the motel, the hotel room, and I don't watch CBC and all those things. You know, I don't watch the news. I it's funny, I work in television, but I stopped watching television in 2009.
Yeah.
The day that Obama did the bank bailouts, I was like, I'm done.
Well, you know what I mean? But Justin Castro Trudeau, he did the world a favor in a sense, because he let the tyranny out of the bag, didn't he? When he went after the bank accounts of the people who donated to the truckers, when he declared truckers to be terrorists and tried to shut them down with all these lies, which were, you know, government-run operative instigators and so on. But Justin Trudeau, even he actually woke up the world to the reason why cryptocurrency is so critical, because you can't trust your government to respect the privacy of your money or even your bank account. You know, if you had cryptocurrency, you would be in control of your money. But if it's in the bank, then Justin Trudeau is in control of your money. And if you're doing something that he doesn't like donating to the truckers, then you get shut down. But in a sense, don't we have Trudeau to thank for letting the tyranny out of the bag, so to speak?
Yeah, I guess so. It's, you know, you hear all these European, you know, government, people saying, you know, this guy's a dictator. He's a dictator.
Yeah, he is.
Still there. And I mean, they shut me down before it was cool. Like when I was, the way I funded Tiptoe to Tyranny is I started a GoFundMe and it took off. And just based on the trailer that will be on Brighteon, even YouTube hasn't taken down the trailer. They won't let put the movie up.
Right.
But you know, this goes against community guidance or the community standards. So I got shut down right there, and that made things really difficult. And everywhere I turned, I was getting shut down. Like I had already tried to release this film on Vimeo, and I got shut down. They shut down my entire account and kept the sales.
So yeah, that sounds like Vimeo. Yeah. Run by a bunch of globalists.
So it's been nearly impossible. Like it made, like I really got through just on sheer willpower a lot of the time, you know?
Well, that's why we're so happy to connect with you, because, you know, Brighteon is about free speech. It's about telling the truth. And, you know, they can try to ban our network, you know, from being shared on big tech. And they do, they ban Brighteon URLs, but they can't stop people from coming directly to, for example, brightu.com and just watching it for free. And, yeah. You know, they can't stop us. And even if they try, even if they seize the domain name, guess what? You know, we have other domain names, or we have a distributed peer-to-peer content distribution technology that we can roll out. They're not going to be able to silence us. They can just kind of screw with this here and there, but they can't shut us down. And that's, you know, with you and us working together and all the people in your film, you know, humanity has a fighting chance, I think.
I'd like to think so. I mean, you can't give up hope, because then what do you have, right? And I think in the end, it is going to work in our favor. You know, like we are going to win this. And this is what I'm doing to help. Like this is what I'm doing to contribute.
Yeah.
But again, it's made, you know, they made it nearly impossible just to live. All through this endeavor, I found myself out of a place to live 6 times. And not just because the money wasn't there, but because I wouldn't get the vaccine. So there was nowhere, you know what I mean? Like, and you're trying to get an apartment or anything, and you had to be vaccinated, or even an Airbnb or anything. So
that's insane.
Yeah, it was really hard here in Canada. And I never wore a mask. I just didn't go along with one bit of it.
Good for you.
Yeah. And the first time around when they put the mask on, I just call ahead, you know, and generally I told them I was exempt. because I was in meetings with Rocco Galati, who is a constitutional lawyer here, and you know, he said everybody's exempt. Like, you don't need, you know, like you don't need to justify that. It's a medical procedure. So I just call and tell them I'm exempt, and they'd rolled out the red carpet. And then through the summer, they took away the mandates for masks. And I remember I picked up my son on the last day of school, and he was like, good, next year we won't have to do the mask, even though he didn't have to wear one. We told the school, you know. And then I told him, I was like, yeah, well, don't be so sure, in September, it's not going to come back. And sure enough, man, 3 days after the kids got back, yep, masks back on, everything. And now they were targeting the businesses. So the businesses were, they were like, it didn't matter if you had an exemption or anything. Like they were so scared of getting that fine. So we had to go through all that, and we just took our kid out of school. Like, the only reason he's in school is because he wants to be there. He missed his friends so much and everything, but both his mother and I would rather he not even be part of it. But
well, this historians will look back at this time with a sense of astonishment that so many people went along with the tyranny so quickly. So many local bureaucrats too, and local businesses, and even churches and so on. It's an extraordinary thing to watch mass obedience in motion. You know, it's like, it makes you understand the term sheeple, right?
Absolutely. And that's why this is so important, because I don't think anybody in the world has captured this the way I did, because I was in every protest. Like I said, I was with, like, once I got to Ottawa, within in no time, I was like in the war room. I was, you know, I was with the Pat Kings and Tamara, and you know, all the top people were around me all the time. And I believe I don't think there's anybody else that has it. And I want it to be a historical document.
Yeah,
like this cannot be forgotten. You know, and some of the story. I mean, one of the stories in the next film is an 18-year-old girl. She got the shot. And she was paralyzed the next day. And it's admitted. Like, this is the one time where they got a good doctor who said, it was the vaccine.
Yeah, wow.
You know? And she only got it because she wanted to graduate. Like, coercion all the way.
Well, I can only hope and pray that ultimately people like Justin Trudeau would be arrested and prosecuted for crimes against humanity. Because... yeah, go ahead.
I said at best.
Yeah. I mean, these people have gotten away with actual murder, and they forced it on innocent people.
Oh, here in New Brunswick, when it all started, it was a huge scandal. They locked these, like, an old age home down. They weren't giving them a water or nothing. They just basically flat out murdered them. And that's actually, you know, that made the mainstream, but still nothing happens about it, you know, like, and they just murder these people.
Kind of. Well, let me ask you a really sensitive question then, because as a filmmaker, you're an observer of human behavior. And does watching this, does it hearken back to even World War II and the Holocaust? Because I remember as a kid asking myself, as we were learning about, you know, Hitler and the Jews and Zyklon B and all the crimes against humanity that took place then, I was always asking, how is that possible? How could people go along with it? And now it seems we know how, because we're living it again. Does that ever strike you as, like, you've seen this shadow side of human behavior that is a window into some of the darkest chapters of history?
What I'm going to say about that is, I don't think anybody was as surprised as I was, like, well, that people went along with it. Because I've been the brainwasher, I guess, to a certain degree, for two decades. Like, every documentary has a side to it. I've worked for the news and stuff like that, like, throughout my career. And on some level, I thought people understood that, you know, like, it's manipulated to a degree. It's unavoidable, you know. I've been lucky. I haven't been involved with anything that's been nefarious, really. Like, I worked on a lot of really cool shows. But, you know, like, in the news, I saw it happen. You know, I've seen the way the news goes down. Like, all the reporters go up into a glass room with the news managers and stuff. And I worked in Halifax, which is a major center here in Eastern Canada. And the talking points come from Toronto. And, you know, all the technicians are on the floor, and because there has to be a certain unison to it, you know. I don't know. I've seen how the sausage has been made for a long time, but to see how people just ate it up and just absolutely no critical thinking, no discernment, you know, where somebody like me could see it immediately. I mean, whenever, it's not that they were all talking about COVID, but they're saying the same words, all, you know, all over the place. I mean, that's your first clue, right?
Yeah, they've been fed the same gaslighting script, and they're just almost like non-player character zombies or something, repeating it. Some days I wonder how much humanity is even remaining in some skin bags out there, and I'm not even sure. I don't know the answer to that. But in terms of big picture here, let me just remind people again, the website to watch this film, Tiptoe to Tyranny, is brightyou.com. I've got it up on my screen, although it's showing the previous film currently, which is Human Farming. But you go there, you'll be able to see Tiptoe to Tyranny. You'll register. It begins on June 10th, which is a Saturday. You'll be able to watch it for free. And Chris, any final thoughts you want to leave us with here today about the film or what it's going to do for people who watch it?
Well, first of all, I'm going to say I'm really grateful that it will be on Brighteon, because it was difficult. Just, you couldn't launch it anywhere. You couldn't, you know, I couldn't get it up anywhere. I couldn't, you know, like it was unviewable to a sense. And it's really great that you guys are around, that this can exist, you know, because all the work and everything that I had put into this, they were shutting me down just everywhere. And I really hope that I know that people are going to, that are listening to your channel are aware of all this, but I'm presenting it in a way that everybody is going to appreciate, but not only appreciate, but that they can show their friends who are ready to wake up, because I think more and more people are ready to wake up. There's more and more people who are ready to accept the truth at this point. More than I've been awake for 15 years, really, where it was, you know, when I met Rick Simpson was 2009. So I saw the corruption in the justice system, the medical system, and across the board, really.
Yeah.
And, you know, people couldn't accept that back then, but more now than ever, you know. So this film is designed that it's foolproof. You're hearing the information from the CDC, from the World Health, from the NIH. You know, like there's no denying this anymore. It's bulletproof. And
so yeah, perhaps that's the best thing, is that people can share that brightyou.com with others and convince other people to at least take a look, watch the first 5 minutes, see what you think.
And use it as a tool.
Yes.
Use it as a tool. You know, like that would make me happy, you know, like it's just like healing cancer with cannabis, you know, like that wasn't a popular subject back then, but I mean, it's hard to find somebody who doesn't know the healing properties of cannabis now.
Yeah. Good point. You know? Well, I tell you what, with our reach, we're probably going to be able to get at least 50,000, maybe up to 100,000 people to watch your film on June 10th. So that's going to have a huge impact, and people will share it, and people will be talking about it in Canada and the United States and all around the world. So we really thank you again for allowing us to do this. We're thrilled to do it with you and your other films as well. And I just want to say thank you for what you do. You put in thousands of hours into these projects. We're just happy to help share it with the world.
Well, and thank you for having it and having me on.
Happy to have you here, and we'll do it again. And, you know, get ready. You're going to get a lot of good positive feedback on this once it goes live. So thank you so much, Chris, for all that you do. It's been a pleasure speaking with you today.
Thank you.
All right. And for those of you watching, again, the website is brightyou.com. The film is called Tiptoe to Tyranny, and it begins on June 10th. You can register and watch it for free. And the preview will change there as we get closer to that actual date. So don't worry that it says human farming right now. But remember, every one to two Saturdays, we have a new documentary for you at Brighteon University that you'll be able to watch for free with only registration required. So spread the word, the truth shall prevail. And we here at Brighteon.com and Brighteon.tv and the whole Brighteon universe, we stand with humanity, we stand with truth, we stand with those who have courage, and we stand with filmmakers like our guest today, Chris, with Tiptoe to Tyranny. So thank you for watching. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon. Take care, everybody.